Mrajuhtuden.
Mrajuhtuden.
Sober as sober. Sober. Sober as
welcome to the Anonymous Eskimo Project, a program devoted to bringing hope to those struggling with mental health issues and addiction. Through candid conversations with guests about mental health issues, addiction, and sobriety, we can let those who are struggling know that they are not alone. I am your host, Ralph Sara. On today's show, I have Antonia Unuksak-Komak. She is Inupiaq from the native village of Shugnak, Alaska. Her passion for missing and murdered Indigenous people advocacy came after she lost two of her best friends to domestic violence. She has since advocated on behalf of many families across the state, where she has made lifelong relationships with others experiencing the same loss. On today's show, Antonia and I discuss the MMIP and MMIW epidemic and how alcohol and drug abuse correlates with that. Guys, please help me welcome Antonia Unuksak-Komak. Hi, Antonia. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself so people can get to know you?
Sure. My name is Antonia Unuksak-Komak. I am from Shugnak, Alaska. My family still lives there, but I live in Wasilla with my three-year-old son. I've been an MMIP advocate for a few years now since one of my friends was murdered in 2017. And I've since just been advocating on behalf of families across the state.
So you are on a committee, right?
I just started in January, yes, with an MMIW working group in Alaska. I just became a fellow for the Data for Indigenous Justice.
Okay, that's amazing. And I was saying the way I was introduced to you was from your TikTok channel. And when I heard your TikTok, it was specifically the Kimberly Fitko O'Domin case. And when I listened to that post, I was really taken by that post and I was instantly hooked. Can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about Kimberly Fitko O'Domin's case?
Sure. So Kimberly Fitko O'Domin is a 40-year-old Yupik woman from Marshall, Alaska. She went missing in June 15 of 2023, so just last year. And her body was found 5 days later on June 27th, over 100 miles downriver from Marshall. Her family reported her missing to the Alaska State Troopers on June 15th, and they didn't show up to Marshall until June 19th. So that was over 5 days later with their response time.
And what I found out is, like, what's really sad about this was the state troopers seemed to not want to really investigate and basically dismissed her case as a simple drowning.
Yes, that is what happened. As soon as I think they heard that she was drinking, they just were like, nope, we're not going to go. And that is the sad situation for a lot of cases across the state.
Yeah, and it seems like the authorities, not only the authorities, the press, you know, the different departments of the state and the municipality and the cities, they seem to always go to victim blaming and point out the different substance abuse or alcohol use when it comes to Indigenous peoples.
Yes, that is unfortunately what happened. So they go directly to victim blaming, saying, oh, this person was drinking or this person was using drugs, and basically trying to make it look like they caused their own death.
Yeah, and what stood out in her case, Kimberly Fitko O'Domin's case, was the state trooper captain. He went on to KTUU. He made sure to mention that she was intoxicated, And he even mentioned her blood alcohol content. Not only that, he went on to boldly say that she had isopropyl alcohol in her system. And he said, which means she was ingesting rubbing alcohol or hand sanitizer. And I was just speechless. You know, the gall of this man. He's not a physician or a medical examiner. How could he make these statements as if they were true?
Exactly. You know, that angered Kimberly's family, and it still does. Can you imagine just opening up the news and seeing that the captain of the Alaska State Troopers is saying to the media that your family member is drinking alcohol, rubbing alcohol, or hand sanitizer as an excuse to, you know, blindside the media from their lack of investigation?
And now you did some research on that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure, I did. So I looked up, you know, Google, how rubbing alcohol or isopropyl alcohol can show up in toxicology reports. And I found a lot of research that basically said the same thing. There are several circumstances where rubbing alcohol and isopropyl alcohol can show up in the bloodstream. And one of those is if the person is a diabetic or ketoacidosis. Another one is if they have a history of alcohol abuse or if they were drinking. Another one is from decomposition, which in Kimberly's case, she wasn't found for a couple of weeks, I believe. I don't know the exact number of days off the top of my head right now. So under those circumstances, rubbing alcohol and isopropyl alcohol can show up on a toxicology report. Two of those circumstances are, you know, that Kimberly had, she was drinking, she did have a history of diabetes, and there was decomposition in her case.
So there's could have been other factors in this case. And when he made that statement that she ingested either rubbing alcohol or hand sanitizer, it was just frivolous then.
Yeah, not only that, but on the last page of the toxicology report, the toxicologist does say these situations can cause isopropyl alcohol to show up on this report. So it's not like that trooper didn't know those things. They were right there on the very report that he saw the isopropyl alcohol number on.
Yeah, it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. You know, when the state troopers eventually went to Marshall and were, quote unquote, investigating, It was said that they came with what was described as a no-care attitude.
Yes. I did read the log notes for the local search and rescue, and that is how they described the troopers when they went there that first day. Very harsh, with a no-care attitude. They wrote their arms are crossed. They were dismissive.
And there's even a picture of these state troopers asking someone questions. And one of them was eating a bag of chips while he was doing this. I mean, you have to have some nerve to have like a no-care attitude when you're eating a bag of chips while questioning someone about a disappearance. I mean, the disrespect.
Right. Yeah, and I posted about that bag of chips also, but there was no context around it. But I think the eating the bag of chips in conjunction with their attitude, their dismissiveness, their harshness towards these people, the whole situation is very, it's not a good look, you know. People were commenting saying, well, what if he was hungry? I said, that's fine. If he was being nice to these people, if he was doing his job, you know, if he was listening and trying to eat at the same time, cool. But the family members just took it as a really huge sign of disrespect because not only was he being mean and rude to them, but he was also eating while trying to investigate this disappearance and homicide.
And what I gather is they left Marshall pretty quickly after.
They did, and that was in the search and rescue log notes as well. It said her family members was on the news saying that they came and left very quickly.
So, Antonia, how do we get these agencies, these authorities, the municipalities, the cities, you know, the DAs, the attorneys, the judicial system, Department of Corrections, to take Native issues seriously?
I wish I knew the answer. I know there are things happening since this MMIP office was open. There are lots of lawyers and legislators writing new bills. A couple of them are in the Congress right now to be voted on. I think they're asking that police are required to do cultural education, 12 hours of that, that's mandatory. Also education about racism and just different topics that surround MMIP. So I think it's important to educate the law enforcement for one. As far as the victim blaming, you know, that really just depends on the person. Anytime I meet law enforcement, I have that conversation with them and they don't acknowledge that they're doing it and they need to start.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that there's a foot in the right direction with all of these education, you know. I think there should be more, you know, either even cultural education would be helpful.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what types of requirements are going to be in these new bills. I'm going to learn about it soon and then do a video about that, but I have to understand the bills that are being passed a little more before I can pass that information on to other people.
Now, the media is not immune to jumping to conclusions and victim blaming. Take this recent story about Donna Marie Jackson. They say the night of her drinking, they again point out alcohol or substance abuse. So they're saying the night after a night of drinking. And there was another murder that took place in Palmer at that same time. And from what I remember, it was the same story about a Caucasian person being murdered, but there was no mention if there was any alcohol or, you know, substance abuse or anything in their write-up about that one.
No, and if you look, I read a lot of news stories, and if you look at the news reports for Caucasian people going missing or murdered, they don't talk as much about the drug or alcohol use, even if that person is known to use. They don't say it in the media, but if it's a Native person, it's all over. They mention it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times in that media report.
Yeah.
There is a vast difference between the way that Native deaths are reported versus Caucasian deaths.
Yeah. And you know, some people are going to say, hey, you guys are being racist. You know, I think you even had a TikTok post about this, how people were being like mean in your comments or messaging you, hey, you're racist. I mean, how can you address this, or how, what would you say to someone who would say that, hey, all you guys are doing is being racist?
I don't respond to those people. I usually just block them. But in my video, I just want people to understand that I am not being racist by pointing out the injustices of my people. I am not being racist by pointing out the lack of investigation for Alaska Native people. That is not something racist to say. It's not racist of me to point out that the law enforcement that does this are white people, because they are. I'm not being racist by calling out their failures.
I wanted to touch on Starlight Tours.
Oh, yes.
Lots of these incidences were where the police take inebriated Alaskan Natives, or it's, from what I gather, it happens everywhere, you know, but there's like a story of downstate. I'm not sure exactly where, but it came up to a certain person's TikTok, and that's where people started to take notice. And then there were incidences in Alaska where they take inebriated Alaskan Natives to remote areas and make them walk back, like far, far away.
I was tagged in a post from a woman from Nome, I think a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. And she was talking about, she was watching a show that's talking about disappearances in Alaska being due to this quote unquote Bermuda Triangle we have. And she was like, that's not right. And she said, those people are disappearing because of this. And it's these Starlight Tours where law enforcement will just pick up an inebriated Alaska Native, take them far out of town and make them walk back to sober them up or whatever. And a lot of times those people don't make it back. But the people in her comments were telling their own stories of how they survived that. And some of them had to walk for 3 hours with, you know, not warm shoes, not even a jacket, and they froze. And some of them thought they weren't going to make it back to town in Nome.
It was just crazy how many responses that were to that post. You know, I was just like, whoa, man.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of stories in just that one comment thread. And, you know, you can't say all of these people are collectively lying because they're all telling the same story with these police officers in Nome, Alaska.
Yeah. I'm sure it happens to other communities, you know. Where can people, other than your TikTok and your social media, where could people find out more about missing and murdered Indigenous women and missing and murdered Indigenous people?
Other than my social media, they can go to the MMIWG2S Facebook. There is a working group for Alaska that consists of, I think, four or five corporations. That's Data for Indigenous Justice, Alaska Native Women's Resource Center, the Alaska Native Justice Center, and Native Movement. So all of their socials, they have really good information about this movement. And those are really good pages to follow for information.
Okay, yeah. And we've been talking about cases in Alaska, where we're from. But this is an epidemic everywhere. I recently started listening to a podcast that you suggested called Up and Vanished. And this one was about the Ashley Loring heavy runner case. She's still missing. And she went missing from the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana. So it's not just an Alaska thing. It's not just a Canadian thing. It's everywhere.
Yes. She was from Browning, Montana. My best friend in high school is actually from Browning, Montana. But her case is another one. She literally just up and vanished and has not been found. And that podcast that you're talking about, Up and Vanished, they're actually going to be releasing a story about an Alaska Native woman that went missing from Nome, Alaska. It is going to be about Florence Oxyalik. She went missing in 2020.
The only way people will start to put faces to these Indigenous people, these individuals, and keep their cases heard in the public as if we are proactive and, you know, demand media and law enforcement to keep these cases open and to keep them looked at.
Exactly. The only way to have them in the public eye is to keep posting about it, keep talking about it, talk to your family members about it. We need people to see their faces and hear their stories. We can't forget about them.
Is there a place where people in Alaska or downstates can see these individuals, these indigenous people that are missing, or their cases about their unsolved murders? Is there any place where we can go and, you know, just put a face to all of these people?
Yes. So here in Alaska, we have something that's called the Missing Persons Clearinghouse. So all of the people that are missing Alaska should be logged into this database, and it's called the Missing Persons Clearinghouse. Nationwide, there is a place called NAMUS, NAMUS. It is a nationwide missing persons database where you can search names and hear about their stories, you know, what they were wearing, when they were last seen, all of that. So those are two really good resources for missing people.
Wow, thank you. We're trying to bring people information, you know, and put faces to these people and keep these cases alive, you know.
I'm here to bring awareness to these missing and murdered Indigenous people because the media won't talk about it, the police don't talk about it, so somebody needs to. I'm here to try to hold these people accountable for their failures, so that they can start to do better. Unless we talk about it, nothing will change.
Yeah, it's just like the generational trauma that is with Native people. If we don't talk about it, then we can't stop the cycle. We can't break the cycle.
Exactly.
And I know this is, you know, kind of focused on mental health and sobriety and recovery. This ties into that as well, you know, because of all of the mentions about alcohol and substance use and the victim blaming. And I just wanted to give a voice to, you know, this epidemic that the MMIW, MMIP, and have people start to think about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. This MMIW and MMIP movement, it's deeply rooted in the mental health problems. A lot of the victims do struggle with substance abuse, but that doesn't define them. It doesn't mean that they deserve what happened to them.
Exactly. And that's what people need to hear. You know, that's not the reason that they're missing, or that's not the reason that what happened to them, you know?
Exactly. It breaks my heart when people are just dismissive of these people that are struggling, because I struggled at one point, and it hurts to think, like, what if I was still struggling and something happened to me? Would the police just dismiss my case and not try to investigate? That's a really heartbreaking thought to have.
Yeah, definitely. And in my case, I'm not an angel, you know. I've been in jail because of my drinking, and I've experienced how our people are treated inside the jail system, and it needs to be talked about, or else it's just going to be swept under the rug, just like all of this, you know. If we don't bring it up, if we don't talk about these issues, nothing's going to happen.
Exactly. And that brings me back to the lady's post about the Starlight Tour. When she spoke up, you saw how many people followed and told their own story in her comments. It starts with one person, just to give all these other people courage to speak up.
Yeah, yeah. How can people find you, your social media? Where could they see your stories and your posts about MMIW and MMIP?
Sure. So my Facebook is Antonia Comack. I post all of my videos there. They're always set to public, so all you have to do is follow me. And then my TikTok is alaska.mmip, and you can see all my videos there. There's more videos on my TikTok than my Facebook, so TikTok would be probably the best place to follow, because everything is there.
And I remember you posting how overwhelmed you get by messages, and so you set up an email for if people have cases or people that you may want to look at. Can you let everybody know what that email is?
Sure. It's alaskammip@gmail.com. And I set up this email because I get so many messages, tags every day on, you know, stories, and I try to read them all, but responding is just a whole nother thing. That's too many people to talk to every day. So I set up this email so families can email me stories of their missing and murdered loved ones. I just ask that you send as much information as possible, links to stories, pictures, just everything you can think of, you know, autopsies if you have them, police reports, just so I could get a full sense of this person to be able to fully tell their story in a video. And again, I won't probably be responding to the emails, but I will use that information to try to compile their story.
And that's another thing I wanted to point out, is you're doing the research and you actually have contact with some of the families of missing and murdered people. You're not just like putting out a statement like, you know, some of the media that we were talking about. You actually take some time and, you know, humanize these people and talk to their families and do as much research as you can.
Yes, I do try to get in contact with the families, because often you see just the media, they'll say all the bad things about this person, but they won't say the good things. They won't tell how they live. And that's actually going to be a part of my project with this MMIW working group, is to tell the stories of these MMIW and how they lived instead of how they died. A huge part of that is going to be talking with the families. But right now, I do contact families. I know people all over the state that are going through something that I was going through with two of my best friends.
Sometimes I think, man, you have to get overwhelmed with all of this. Is that the case some of the time?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's very hard to hear all these things. It's very hard to think about, you know, all of this death and just injustice. But, you know, I went through 4 years of therapy to give myself the skills to move through not only things like this, like murder and stuff, but my own traumas as well. So when it becomes overwhelming, I now have this group of people that are also doing the same things that I'm doing. So it helps to have community for sure.
Yeah. And I go to therapy every week. So it really helps. Yeah. It really helps.
Anytime I could tell somebody to go to therapy, I always do. I'm just a huge advocate for therapy. Seriously, if you don't think you need it, you probably do.
Yeah. And people always like, oh, be a man. You know, you don't need this. You don't need, you know, or, you know, the stoic native person, you know. Like I always talk about how many times we've brought this up is like native people are taught not to talk about what's going on, you know, to stuff it. Don't show your emotions. Don't cry or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it took me a long, long, long time until I was in treatment to actually open up. And I'm going to tell you, it's life changing.
Yes. You know, these are things that we really have to unlearn in order to change the way the system is.
Yeah, yep. How can people, if they want to help in this cause, how can people help?
You know, this is such a huge epidemic, but I always just ask my followers to share my posts, talk to their families about this person's story that I just told you, copy and paste my links. Just getting these stories out there does more than you know.
Yeah, just keep it alive. Talk about it and, you know, share the posts and share, you know, the flyers and everything, you know. Mm-hmm. Antonia, is there any other thing that you would like to say before we end this?
I just want to leave everybody with why I started doing this. I lost two of my best friends and it was a really hard thing for me to go through alone. So if you know of anybody that is going through a family member being missing or murdered, try to be there for them, help them through this, because it's terrible to have to do something like this yourself.
Okay, Antonia, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you coming on. And I know this is a really hard subject to talk about. And I applaud you for your work. You do such important work. And I would like to have you on occasionally just to update with, you know, different cases and stuff like that, if you are willing.
I would love that. You know, I'm really honored to be here. Any platform that will give me a voice, I'm going to take it, because I will scream this from the rooftop if people will let me.
Yeah. So thank you again, Antonia.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Well, that's all for today's show. I hope you, the listeners, found some inspiration, strength, and hope. Listen next week when I have another strong, courageous person on who's walking with us on this healing journey. This program is available as a podcast. You can hear this and many more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts or at anonymouseskimo.com. Join in the Anonymous Eskimo Project Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. on 107.7 and also 91.9 FM KSTK, Stikine River Radio, serving Wrangell, Alaska. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. Biura!
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.